In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Their lives had changed forever the day the Spirit had been poured out. This new community had formed, a radical community that held everything in common. Following this, Peter and John had continued their ministry of reaching out to people. Because Peter had called that day of Pentecost to the crowd saying, "Be rescued and saved from this corrupt generation in society." And they continued that mission as they saved a paralyzed man who had never walked before. 40 years of his life imprisoned and stuck in this situation, they pulled him out of that corrupt generation in society into the family and community of Jesus, where he found life and liberation, a kind that the money he was begging for could never give him. Peter and John had been arrested for this. The authorities did not like the crowds being pulled into this new community that transcended their political and economic and social structures. So they threw Peter and John in prison. Peter and John, after sitting in prison for a night, were brought on trial before them, and they were threatened and told to never preach or act in the name of Jesus again. And Peter asked the rhetorical question, "Do you really want us to obey you instead of God?" But because the crowds were enamored with these Christians, the authorities released Peter and John, simply threatening them, "Don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus again." So Peter and John return back to the community where our text picks up for today. And as they meet with the community, the thing that they do in response to this first experience of persecution and suffering on behalf of the name of Jesus is pray. And their prayer is fascinating, as they do not pray to God asking for deliverance from persecution and suffering. Their prayer is simply for courage, boldness to continue faithfully in the midst of persecution and suffering. And their prayer is a begging to God for the Holy Spirit. And that day, as they gathered and prayed, it happened again. The room they were in started shaking, and the Spirit of God came and filled them again. And we're told immediately after this, the description of what the Spirit did in their lives, that they were a community of one mind and soul, a community that held no private property, but considered everything to belong to God and therefore to anyone who was in need. And we're told that this witness of sharing everything and giving up private property was a powerful witness to the resurrection of Jesus. How so? Because anyone who lets go of their property, empties their bank accounts, lets go of their future retirement savings, must trust that someone is there to look out for them. These disciples believed through the resurrection of Jesus that God was real in the world, that he was taking care of his children, that not even death could separate them from God's provision and care. And so they just let it go. They gave freely. They emptied their lives. They separated themselves from all ownership because they realized, "I don't need to hold on to things for myself. I have a God who's watching over me because he watched over Jesus even in the midst of crucifixion and death. Therefore, he knows my future. He can take care of my tomorrow." The crowd saw this and were marveling at the power of the resurrection that would cause people to live like this. Then we're told of a couple of examples. Joseph, later named Barnabas, who will show up later in Acts, he brings forth a Levite, a man of the priestly line, brings forth the proceeds. He sold his family inheritance. And he lays it at the feet of the apostles and says, "I'm all in. Use this to love those in the community that are in need. I trust that God will take care of me. I no longer need to hold on to my family inheritance. We can't possibly understand how radical this was for the Jewish people. They had fought their entire lives to try to grab parts of the promised land there in the land of Canaan, in the land of Israel. They had worked their entire lives to get this land away from the Romans into their property and ownership. And now we have Christians coming forward, selling off the promised land in order to take care of people in need. But it's because these Christians understood that the land of Canaan, the land over in Israel, is too small of an inheritance for what God is doing. The true promised land is the whole creation. And those who let go of their little ownership of this piece of land and that can recognize, as Jesus taught and as the psalmist said, the meek inherit the entire earth. And it was in that promise that a Barnabas could come forth, sell his family inheritance, and trust that through God he would inherit the whole earth. Then we're told of another family, Ananias and Sapphira. They come forward wanting to be a part of this community. But obviously there was a little bit of anxiety. Ananias and Sapphira sell their family inheritance, but in anxiety, they keep a chunk for themselves, just in case. What if this community thing doesn't quite work out? What if we need to take care of ourselves and our children in the future? We should probably keep a chunk for ourselves. And they come before Peter, lay the proceeds at his feet, and Peter, through the Holy Spirit, knows something is fishy. Ananias, is this really the full proceeds of the land that you sold? Yes, Ananias says. Peter says, no, it isn't. And you know it's not. Nobody forced you to sell this land. Nobody forced you to join this community. But as soon as you said, I'm all in, that property was no longer yours. You made the promise to God to dive all in, to let go of your possessions as Jesus had taught, to claim that you are doing that and to hold on to money secretly. You are lying to God. You are blaspheming the Holy Spirit's work within your life. And a great sign happened that day. Ananias dropped dead. God did not strike him down, but a sign that was given that the life that Ananias had chosen was ultimately a life of death. Instead of choosing life in the new community by letting go of it all, Ananias, in his anxiety and worry, wanted to hold on to a little security blanket. And we see, we are gifted of seeing that that path is death. Now Sapphira, his wife, brought forward same question. Sapphira, is this how much y'all sold the property for? Oh yeah. Sapphira, death, you have chosen yourself as well. And she drops down and dies. Fear, as you can only imagine, grips the community. This is serious stuff. Hypocrisy clearly is not tolerated. Hypocrisy, to try to lie to God, to live a divided life, is death. Count the cost, Jesus had said to his disciples in Luke 14. Count the cost of what God is calling you into. Understand what you are being invited into. Don't jump in unaware. of the cost. The cost, he said there in Luke 14, is no one can be my disciple who does not give up everything he or she owns. The call into discipleship is complete, total. God wants all of you. And there is no bargaining with him to make a compromise. But this call from Jesus is not a, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to hurt you. No. He is saying the path that the world has taught you to choose is a path of death. I'm inviting you out of the death into a radical new life. Be filled with the Spirit. Let go of all of the madness. Be saved from this corrupt generation, Peter had said. Be saved from the madness of our world. Because you may not drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira right now, but if you choose that path, it ends in death. It is a path of death. The world tells you there's life in that. There's not. The great sign of Ananias and Sapphira is a beautiful, powerful warning to us that death, by choosing the world's ways, is going to happen. Be wary of what the world has taught you, of what it's begging you and seducing you into. Jesus is saying, be saved. Be saved from the madness. Join this new family. Let go of everything. Follow me. Make a break with everything in your life and enter as a newborn child, emptied of everything, ready to find new life through God's word. Look to the resurrection. God's path, though it may look like death, is life. The world's path, though it may look like life, is death. Don't let it seduce you. Don't let it lead you astray. God is urging you, calling you to count the cost again this day. Following Jesus demands everything. But if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to lose everything anyway. So join him. Let go of the madness now before it's ripped out of your hands by death later. Join the new family. Receive the gospel promise that God is with you. He provides for his children. He forgives them and loves them and walks with them. He raises them from the dead. To be a part of the new community where you let go of the world's madness is the only place to find life. Be all in. Make the jump. Leap into God's hands. Because the world's hands are only going to come back to hurt you. God will watch over you. The resurrection is real. Life is found in the cross of Jesus, not in the pursuits of the world. Amen.